the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
When it comes to Social Security, it may surprise you, nearly 85% of all survivors receiving Social Security are women. Women just tend to live longer than us guys. So on today's program, we're going to tackle the subject of Social Security, but we're going to look at it from a woman's point of view. What are the things that women need to know because they are more likely to be the survivors? Joining me on the program is Yolanda York. And Yolanda, you have two pieces on your site, socialsecurity.gov. One of them I want to get to, which is five things every woman should know about Social Security. And the first of these is nothing keeps you from getting your own Social Security benefit. So let's begin with that. And guys, if you're married, please do me a favor. Go get your wife to listen to this broadcast. If you're listening to this program and you have a mom out there who's single, divorced, widowed, I want you to bring her too, because we're going to be covering topics today that relate directly and specifically to women. So let's begin with the five things every woman should know, Yolanda, about Social Security. And let's begin with number one.
Right. So if you worked and paid taxes into Social Security, the Social Security system, for at least 10 years, you probably have earned a minimum of 40 credits, and you may be eligible for your own benefit. Once you reach the age of 62, you may be eligible on your own Social Security benefit, whether you're married or not, whether your spouse is collecting or not, you are entitled to your own benefit. And we figure everyone's retirement benefit the same way. It's based on the percentage of your average monthly wage using a 35 base earnings. So if you don't have the 35 years of earnings in a lifetime, you know, we're going to have zeros to reach the 35 year base. And then, of course, we do a formula to determine your monthly benefit.
A lot of women may be in the workforce, but maybe they took time off for a couple of years. I know in my own wife's case, when we were starting our family, the first 5 years when we were having children, she did not work. So as I understand it, the years you don't work, that is a zero that goes in when computing that average of 35 years. Is that correct?
That's exactly how it's happening. So if you have no wages for those years, then we're going to have a zero. And that's why most of the time women's Social Security benefits are lower, because exactly like your spouse, you know, they take time to raise a family and for a lot of years. And then they go back to the workforce and eventually get their 40 credits, their 10 years, and they do have a monthly benefit amount.
Let's take the case of my wife, where she took 5 years off to raise the kids. So you're basing it on 35 years. So basically, you can zero out those years in many ways by just working an additional 5 years. Would that solve part of the problem? In other words, let's say you wanted to retire at age 62. You decide, you know what, I'm going to work to age 67 another 5 years. Wouldn't that kind of get rid of those 5 years?
It's a little bit more complicated than that, because in essence, if your spouse had eventually worked 10 years and you have to earn credits, let me just tell you, 40 credits right now, if you earn $1,320 in wages or self-employment, that gets you one credit. So if your spouse eventually made this type of income and got her 40 credits, she's already protected. She's already insured for this retirement benefit. But what you're saying is, what if she continues to work? Then the more income you put into your Social Security, the more wages, the higher your monthly benefit will be.
Okay, so you can sort of up that figure. What about, Yolanda, if you are working, but let's say you're a civil service or a teacher, what happens to your Social Security benefit if you worked in, let's say, the public sector as a civil servant or a teacher?
Well, you know, that's kind of the biggest misconception for teachers and anyone that hasn't paid into Social Security in recent years. If in the past you got your 40 credits again, your 10 years, or even if you're still working as a teacher, but you have a side job and you're paying into Social Security, as long as you have your 40 credits, you will be eligible for a Social Security benefit. when you apply with Social Security for your benefit, we will ask you, are you entitled to another benefit that is not covered under Social Security? And if you say yes, because you are that teacher or that county employee or the state employee, and then we ask you, what is your monthly benefit? We will apply the offset. Social Security will apply the offset. And the most it could be reduced in the year 2018 is $447. So in other words, if you have a quote right now from Social Security that you are going to get a $1,200 a month Social Security benefit, you would have to reduce it by $447, and then that would be your monthly benefit. And then, of course, you would get your full pension. If you want to get rid of this offset, if you get the 30 years of substantial earnings under Social Security, then you will never have a reduction.
Well, let's move on to the second thing that's important, and that is there is no marriage penalty or a limit to benefits paid to a married couple. What does a woman need to know here?
Well, if you're married and you and your spouse have worked and earned enough credits individually, you will each get your own Social Security benefit. Now, let me just give you an example. The maximum benefit in 2018 that Social Security pays, $2,788. So what if your spouse had made maximum wages for the last 30 years? She would be entitled to $2,788 off of her own record. What about you, Jim? What if you had also worked the 30 years maximum wages? You would also be entitled to $2,788. So what we're saying is, $2,788 times two, that's $5,576 that your household would be receiving from Social Security. And there's been this misconception that, oh, well, we can't get that amount because I understood there was only a maximum. It's a maximum per person.
And I want to put that into perspective. That amount, if you take a look at treasuries today that are paying, let's say, 3%, that $5,500, $5,600 a month, you would need the equivalent of $2.25 million to produce that same amount. So that is no small change. That's a significant amount of money that if you were trying to reproduce that with your own assets, you would need a lot of money.
Let me just highlight one more thing on this example. So the maximum we pay, $2,788, but what if you decided not to take Social Security at your full retirement age and waited until full retirement age, which is now, or pardon me, we stopped paying delayed retirement credits at 70? Well, that $2,788 would grow at 70 to $3,680. And if both you and your spouse waited till 70 to start collecting your Social Security, the household would be receiving $7,360 per month.
Wow, that is a lot of money. And let me put that in perspective again in terms of what that would mean. If, first of all, that's $88,000 a year, and if you were to try to duplicate that with your own personal portfolio, you would need $3 million. Yolanda, there's not too many people in this country that have $3 million. So
I'm not one of them. No.
So anyway, but that is significant. Well, let's go on to number three. If you were due two benefits, let's say husband and wife, you get the one that pays the higher rate, but not both. Let's cover that. So let's say that husband worked, but he had the higher salary. He was the main breadwinner. Mom went to work. She got a salary, but wasn't as much. So, and let's just make this easy. They're both at full retirement age at 66. Okay, so let's say her husband earned the maximum of $2,788, and so she could either get half of that, but let's say her own benefit would only be $800 or $900. Let's talk and go through the numbers, how that works out.
Okay, so $2,788, again, that's the maximum Social Security pays. A spouse is entitled to receive 50% of that. So that would mean she would be entitled to $1,394. The husband gets his full benefit, she gets $1,394. But as you mentioned, she also worked, paid into Social Security, and you said she's entitled to approximately, what, $800?
About $900.
Okay, minus $900, that means we will pay her an additional $494 from the spouse's record. So she gets the $900 off of her own Social Security account, and then she'll get the difference of $494 from her spouse to bring her to that 50%.
Let me throw another example. Let's say that we'll make this easy. Both husband and wife are age 66. And at age 66, husband decides, and we'll talk about some of the benefits of doing this. He decides, hey, we have enough income. I'm going to allow my Social Security. I'm going to postpone taking it to age 70. But what if the wife decides, you know what? I'm full retirement age. I'm going to take my Social Security benefit. And let's say her benefit, and we'll just make the math easy, is $1,000 a month. So at age 66, she's getting $1,000 a month. Husband isn't getting anything. He's allowing his maximum benefit at $2,788 to grow by another 8% a year for 4 years till age 70, which will be close to $3,600. Can at age 70, husband now starts taking his Social Security, could she switch from hers to half of his, which is larger?
So the answer would be yes. But there's also something else in that scenario that maybe we should just address. If he's waiting till 70, and this couple today became 62 prior to January 2nd of 2016, what he can do is get 50% of her benefit. So she's getting $1,000. He's going to get $500 a month off of her record. At 70,
wow.
At 70, he now turns off that $500 and collects his full delayed retirement credits. And then she can go and get that extra percentage that she's entitled off of his record. If he passes away first, then she would inherit the entire delayed retirement benefit that he was receiving.
Now, what's that date on age 62? Can you repeat that again?
January 2nd of 2016. So there was a change in the law back in November of 2015. President Barack Obama changed this law to where you can only do this scenario, or you were grandfathered into the scenario, if you became 62 prior to January 2nd of 2016.
So guys, if you just listening to that, if you earned age 62 prior to January 2nd, 2016, even though you want to let your Social Security grow to age 70, your wife can begin her Social Security and you can get half of it. So there's some extra income. And in this case, Yolanda, let's say that's $500 a month. That's $6,000 a year. Guys, that's equivalent to having another $200,000 of assets. So
that's, you know, $24,000 in 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's $24,000. That's no jump. I mean, gosh, that's a car, vacation. You can do a lot of stuff with that. All right, let's move on to number four, because this is really important one. Because there are marriages in this country that end in divorce. So if a woman is divorced and she was married to her ex-husband for at least 10 years, let's talk about eligibility. And let's make this sort of a real-life case. Let's say that Laura was married to Larry Lotsabucks. They were married for 10 years. They get divorced. Larry Lotsabucks later on marries somebody else. Let's talk about what happened to Laura if she was married to him for 10 years.
Well, if she is now of age, and when I say age, if she's at least 62, she can be entitled to benefits off of this previous spouse. Even though he has not filed Social Security benefits, she could bring in a marriage certificate, divorce certificate, his birth certificate to document that he's at least 62, and her birth certificate, and she could be collecting benefits, and that would only be 37% at 62, but she would be eligible for spousal benefits off of this previous spouse. But if she's entitled to get Social Security on her own record at 62, she would first have to take hers, and then any additional benefits would come from his record. If she remarries before age 60, then she's not able to do this. So, and you know, if you're divorced and you remarry after 60, then you can inquire about receiving additional benefits on your previous marriage.
Let me make this a little bit more complicated. Her ex-husband, Larry Lotsibucks, he gets remarried, or even if he doesn't get remarried, he decides because he's Larry Lotsibucks, he doesn't need his Social Security to age 70, so he's decided that he's going to postpone getting the benefit to receive the larger benefit age 70. Now what happens to his ex-wife, that he's basically not taking his benefit?
Well, she should. All she has to do is come into our office with the marriage and divorce decree and say, I'd like to file a claim on my previous spouse, and we will entitle her on his record. He will never know that there's someone receiving benefits off of his record, and it will never affect him in any way. When he becomes 70, he starts collecting his 132%, and again, he will never know that somebody was already collecting. But we have to, at Social Security, obviously, she would need to prove that she was married for at least those 10 years.
Okay. So, ladies, you know, if you were married to somebody that was very successful, meaning that he was probably paying the maximum benefit into Social Security, which is, that benefit is now $2,788, that's a lot of money.
Jim, and I want to just share this story because this can go both ways. My brother's neighbor, who's a farmer, who gets $800 a month, was married to, he was married to a woman. They got a divorce. She worked as a CEO in the city while he was in the farm, you know, so he was getting a small amount. Anyway, they ended up getting a divorce. Then 10 years later, he finds out that she passed away. She was getting $2,200 a month. He was getting $800. A month. So he went from getting $800 to $2,200, and we were able to pay him back 6 months retroactive because he was over the age of 66. So keep that in perspective.
Yeah, and I'll throw an actual case study that we just recently came across in helping a client retire. The wife was the main breadwinner. Her husband was kind of a handyman. And of course, you know, sometimes he had work, sometimes he didn't, but she was working in the medical field as an administrator, got a six-figure salary. He took his Social Security at age 62, which wasn't much. And what we were able to do is show her that she is now going to retire. She's at full retirement age. Actually, she's working to age 67, stepping down. We were able to tell her that her husband was eligible for half of her Social Security, which was more than what he was taking on his original. So it can work, as you say, in both ways.
And then the other thing that we just, and before we even leave this conversation about divorced spouses, is that, you know, yeah, sometimes people will have one marriage, but other folks sometimes may have three marriages. And if all of them lasted for more than 10 years and ended in divorce, then you want to inquire on all those other marriages to see, could you possibly be entitled to a higher benefit on somebody else's record of those marriages?
I just think of somebody like Liz Taylor or Zsa Zsa Gabor that has seven or eight marriages. So, you know, depending on who she got married, yeah, she could have got a bigger check.
And of course, if the marriage ends in death, it's a whole different thing. Because if the marriage ends in death and you've been married for 9 months to that person, you're also entitled to benefits, you know, even if the marriage only lasted for 9 months.
Yeah, I want to get to that because that's the number five that what every woman knows. So your spouse, whether currently married or your ex dies, let's talk about the widow's benefit.
As a widow, if you are widow, if you're eligible for benefits and you're eligible to get 71% of the deceased, what they would be entitled to at age 60. If you wait till full retirement age, then you would be entitled to 100% of what the spouse was getting before they died. And we don't have to pay your own retirement first. We can just pay you as a widow. So let's just find a woman whose husband just passed away. She's 60. She's not at the workforce. So she can get 71% of her deceased spouse's benefit at age 60. She could decide to start collecting her own Social Security at 70. By then, she will have accrued these delayed retirement credits, and then she could switch over to her own.
One of the things, and this is something that's very important that we try to emphasize to clients, And this is something that you really need to think of when you retire. When, let's say, a husband and wife, they're both getting Social Security checks. Husband, let's say he was the main breadwinner, and the wife is, you know, she worked, but she didn't earn as much, maybe didn't pay in as much, so she's getting a lesser amount. One of the advantages, if you are in a financial situation where you can afford, meaning the husband, can afford to delay receiving Social Security benefits at age 70, number one, it's going to be up by 32%. So, Yolanda, you mentioned the maximum benefit this year is $2,788. You add 32% to that, that's $3,680. And the reason this is important is when one spouse passes away, usually it's the husband, that means the wife has the choice of taking the larger Social Security. So let's say your husband postpones to age 70, his maximum benefit goes to $3,680, he passes away, you can then take his larger amount, even though you're going to lose your Social Security and get his. And that's why a lot of times this is very advantageous, husbands, for your wife, if you're the main breadwinner, is because your amount by delaying is going to be much larger because your wife will lose hers when she gets yours. And that is going to mean a reduction of income.
And that is gold to really understand that concept you just explained, because if you are a couple, let's just say if you're a couple and married, it is really wise to think about when you're going to start receiving those benefits, because it may be that you might just wait till full retirement age, or excuse me, those delayed retirement credits, because your spouse will inherit that, and that is a huge number. Oh, and you know why? And the reason too. My uncle just became 101 on Sunday.
Wow.
My father-in-law became 94, September 18. We are living so much longer. We have 40,000 people right now in the United States collecting Social Security that are over 100 years, 40,000 people over 100 collecting Social Security. So you really have to play with that. Like, is longevity on your side when you're making these decisions?
Well, it sounds like, Yolanda, you need to defer yours to 70 with your with your family.
Oh, my God.
I'd like to know.
I do have to think about that now.
Yeah, it's either your genes or you're eating something good. And if it is, I'd like to know what it is. Yolanda, as we close, I want you to talk about two publications and where listeners, and especially women listening to this podcast, can go. You have one, 5 Things Every Woman Should Know About Social Security, which we just discussed. You have even a more comprehensive pamphlet called What Every Woman Should Know. So if they want to find these, tell them how they could do so.
Well, I would love to. Socialsecurity.gov, and you can just put on the search box 5 Things Every Woman Should Know, or you can go to the search box that says People Like Me, and then it'll bring you down to the women. And this link for women has all of this information. And again, you know, my favorite publication of all time is always going to be What Every Woman Should Know. And again, that's at socialsecurity.gov. You can print it or you can order it. If you have, let's say, a church group you want to bring this publication to and share it, we would be happy to mail these to you.
Absolutely. Let me give those two publications, ladies or husbands. This is the name, 5 Things Every Woman Should Know About Social Security. That's what we've been discussing today. And the ultimate publication is What Every Woman Should Know. And all you have to do is go to socialsecurity.gov. Yolanda, I want to thank you for coming on the program. This is great information. We've had a lot of requests. We've seen so many issues that deal with what we just discussed. So I hope that our listeners will find this helpful and even more helpful by going to your website. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
It's always my pleasure. And thank you again for letting Social Security come and talk to you.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Jim. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.